explained.
And we would welcome a 12th.
He glanced over at Yogur, lying dead by the wagon.
Particularly a 12th who can handle himself so effectively.
Regis chuckled at the flattering offer.
I can hardly ride a pony,
he said, for his first reaction was to politely decline.
Easy to learn, said Sho with awe,
and his tone sobered Regis and made it quite clear that this was neither a casual offer nor an empty one. They were serious.
I have business in the far north, Regis said. Do you ride as far as Luskin?
Waterdeep,
Dorigardo replied.
But we could go farther and perhaps help you with this business of which you speak.
Regis shook his head, trying to sort it out. He had 2.5 years before his appointed rendezvous.
I am in need of sleep, he said. Might I spend the night in your no-doubt secure camp and give you an answer in the morning?
The halfling known as Spider awoke to the smell of cooking bacon and eggs, and with a fine, rich coffee aroma drifting around his nostrils. He propped himself up on his elbows and did a quick count of the halflings moving around the encampment, quickly discerning that most of the band was in attendance.
Well met, Master Topolino,
Dorigardo greeted when he noted Regis sitting up.
Spider, he corrected. My name is Spider.
He looked around some more, feeling quite at home and comfortable and adventurous.
Spider of the Grinning Ponies, he said.
Huzzah, the halflings cheered, gloved fists rising into the air.
I suppose I'll need a pony, Regis said.
Plenty across the bridge, answered Dorigardo.
I've the coin to purchase one, Regis answered.
Showithal came over, bearing 2 plates heaped with food and balancing a steaming mug of coffee on each.
A gift for a tale of Delphuntle,
he said, sitting on a keg near Regis's bedroll.
Tell me of Marauder Topolino.
The fact that he had referred to the house with that obscure name confirmed to Regis that he had indeed been to Delphuntle, as he had claimed. Regis nodded and took the plate and mug, and between bites told Showithall stories of deep diving and pink pearls. He thought to tell the interested halfling of the grandfather's demise, but changed his mind. Not yet.
Do you know of the grandfather's primary associate? He asked as Dorigardo came over, plate in hand, to join them.
The mustached mage?
Asked Showithall. Regis shook his head.
Denala!
Showithall realized, and said with all the appropriate breathlessness of any male halfling thinking of that one,
"Beautiful Denala! Ah, none who have looked on that one would ever forget her!"
"Denala!" another cried from across the camp, lifting his mug, and all joined in the toast.
"Showithall spoken of her," Dorigardo explained.
"I am sure that his words, no matter how pretty, could not do her justice,"
Regis replied, and he meant it. And how it stung his heart to be away from Denala Topolino. He turned to Showithall.
If you ever return to Delphuntle, find her, I beg, and tell her that you saw me, Spider, and that I am well, and that I will return to her one day.
Spider?
Dorigardo said, shaking his head.
Such a curious name.
One earned,
Regis decided.
One given to me by Grandfather Pericolo himself when I was but a small child.
I have heard of one called Spider,
another of the band said from a short distance to the side. The three turned to face the speaker, and Regis feared that he might have given away too much information.
That's you?
The other one asked.
The climber? Trained in Pericolo's own home?
Regis stared at him, unsure how to proceed.
We've added a valuable companion here, that halfling told Showithall and Dorigardo.
We already figured as much, the leader replied. And one who owes you a great debt for taking my word and speaking for me last night, said Regis.
An easy word to take, said Dorigardo. I've had my run-ins with Stuffings many times, and I don't regret his passing.
He gave a little laugh.
Did I ever congratulate you on your fine aim with that one?
Regis thought back to the fight, on the image of his rapier tip sliding so easily through Stuffing's one good eye. He shrugged, a bit embarrassed. The grinning ponies rode out soon after, Regis on a pack mule until they could procure a proper mount on the other side of Winding Water. They passed under the tree where Kermelon was hanging by the neck and noted the gravediggers cutting four holes in the small clearing behind it. Chapter 24. Weaving. The Year of the Ageless One, 1479 DR, Luruar. The eagle rode the updrafts on an incoming front, gliding easily to the west, and now with the hilly region known as the Crags in sight. Beyond those rolling hills sat Luskin and the Sword Coast, Catti Bree knew, and the mountain pass that would take her home to Icewind Dale. Given the limitations of her magic, she expected to pass by Luskin within a few days and into Icewind Dale to Ten Towns merely a 10-day beyond that. She was thinking of her more recent home, of Niraj and Kavita, and hoping that they were all right. Had they heard of her death? Had Lady Avalier gone to the Desai encampment to interrogate them, or worse, had Avalier punished them? The thought unsettled Catti Bree and stole from her the peace of this moment of high solitude. Maybe she should have stayed in Netheril to protect her parents, she thought, to fight and likely die beside them if Avalier came calling. Certainly die, she nodded. With that slight movement of her head, Catti Bree noticed a strange twinge, a pressure in her limbs akin to what she felt when executing the shape-shifting. Her vision shifted suddenly, too, as if from eagle eyes to human, or something strange in between. And for just a fleeting heartbeat, the sky around her darkened, then seemed backlit. And in the moment between blue daylight and nighttime stars, she saw or imagined a great web of giant strands enwrapping the whole world. She didn't know what to make of it. She couldn't begin to unravel the meaning of the strange sight, or of the pressure in her limbs, or the strangeness of her vision. The world below seemed suddenly so much farther away then, and for a moment, the woman wondered if some great updraft had lifted her higher. But no, it was an illusion, Catti Bree realized, and one facilitated by the change in her vision back to mere human eyes. Her shapeshift was failing. She focused then on her arcane magic, putting her memorized levitation spell into her thoughts. But they were jumbled thoughts, and she couldn't sort through the haze. The spell wasn't making sense to her. The words weren't coming clear. Something was wrong, very wrong. The flight became